Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
No Tom Ackerman this morning. My name's Matt Pauly, filling in for Tom. I believe he'll be back next week. You normally hear me hosting Sports Open Line and also Rush Hour Sports Monday through Friday between 5 o'clock and 8 o'clock, but happy to be with you a little earlier than you normally hear my voice. And we've got quite the program coming up over the next hour and a half or so. We're done early today because we've got an NFL doubleheader today here on KMOX. Our first game is going to be the Giants and the Eagles. And then our second game today is going to be the Broncos and the Cowboys. So a full day of football. And then tomorrow we'll have Monday Night Football with the Chiefs in action against Washington. Tomorrow our coverage will begin at 6 o'clock. Here's what we've got coming up on the program today. In about 10 minutes or so, we are going to be joined by Bernie Miklas, a weekly conversation that he has here on Sports on a Sunday morning. Then later on this hour, Derek Peterson from Saturday Down South will join us. We'll talk through what happened with Missouri football yesterday and where they go moving forward, as it would appear that Bo Prabula is not going to be available, at least for the rest of the regular season. And Russell Baxter is going to join us at the end of this hour. We'll preview today's NFL slate. Next hour, we're going to give you a little taste of what Rush Hour Sports generally sounds like Monday through Friday, as Kevin Wheeler, who I do that show with, he's going to join us. We'll talk some baseball, some World Series, and then we'll wrap up the show today with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations Heim Bloom. He is scheduled to join us at about 11:15. Yesterday was a terrible sports day in the area. It was just absolutely terrible. I would like to be able to put some lipstick on it, but I really can't. From a college football standpoint, you had two big games with Missouri and Illinois, both playing games that really mattered in a very big way. Neither team wins. For Missouri, they have an opportunity to knock off a top 10 team on the road in Vanderbilt. Not only do they lose the game, they lose Bo Prabula. And like I said a moment ago, he is done for the rest of the regular season based off reporting that is out there. We'll see whether or not he could potentially return for a bowl game, or if this team still sneaks in to the college football playoff, which is not an impossibility, but at this point also is not a likely outcome. But we heard from Coach Drinkwitz after the game yesterday, and he very clearly said that while this team might not be playing for a conference championship anymore, they still believe that there is a path to them getting to the college football playoff. And there is a path. There is a path. You can't lose again, and it's going to include a win against a Texas A&M team that's currently ranked number 3 in the nation and looked awesome yesterday, and going to Oklahoma and winning against the Sooners in Norman. If you can pull that off, in addition to wins against Mississippi State and Arkansas, yeah, there is definitely a door that you can still walk through to get to the college football playoff. But running the table over these final four games of the season looks incredibly challenging with that Texas A&M and that Oklahoma game still on the schedule. I guess if, you know, I mentioned the lipstick on the pig, if you want to find a positive out of yesterday's game, first off, Tigers really fought, and I know you don't get any points for that, but it was good to see they made that game interesting. And even when they got the ball back late, basically they lose that game by 1 yard yesterday as that final final play that goes to review ends up just the 1 yard short. But Matt Zollers looked good. 14 of 23, 138 yards, one touchdown. This is a guy that I think people in the program are excited about, maybe seeing him a little bit earlier than you would like to see him, but this is going to be his team here moving forward. So that was the Missouri story. The Illinois story, if we want to talk in terms of college football playoff for them, which it was always a tougher road for them just based off where they were at, but yesterday probably closes that door. They lose at Washington, and they lose by a wide margin, 42-25 ends up being the final score. So it's their third loss of the year. Their first two losses, nothing to be ashamed about. They lost at Indiana. Now they lost by a ton, but they lost at Indiana. And then they lost at home to Ohio State, the number one team in the nation. That was not quite as one-sided as the Indiana matchup. But you could look at those two games and see who they were matched up against. Yesterday was really the final opportunity for them to show out against a pretty good team, and they end up getting beat handedly by Washington. And now the rest of the schedule, there's just not a game the rest of the way that really gets you excited in Rutgers, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Northwestern. And then you have the St. Louis Blues, who are really struggling right now. They're giving up a ton of goals. They had not lost a game, though, on the road this year. Finally back on the road, they go into Detroit. They get up 4-0. They have a 4-0 lead in the second period. And what goes on to happen after that? They give up 6 unanswered goals. Admittedly, the final goal was an empty netter. But they give up 6 unanswered. They give up 3 goals in both the second and third periods after being up 4-0. And they end up losing 6-4. And the struggles absolutely are continuing here in the early season for the Blues, giving up way too many goals. They've lost 3 in a row. They've lost 4 of their last 5. It was just, you were feeling great about things. And 3 minutes into the second period, it's a game where Jake Neighbors had scored twice, and you'd gotten power play goals from Jordan Kyrou and Pavel Buchnevich. And then the wheels just start to come off after that, and it was a really disappointing performance. And the Blues are going to match up against a Pittsburgh team that is really playing some good hockey. This is an interesting quick road trip for them because you look at the Red Wings and the Penguins. They each have really good records to start the season. Neither team is probably as good as their record would indicate. But right now they're playing good hockey when you don't want to match up against them. And that's what they've got. Red Wings yesterday, Penguins coming up tomorrow. So that runs down your St. Louis sports day for the most part. And it was just not good. It was a very, very tough day, whether you're a Blues fan, a Mizzou fan, an Illinois fan. Not a great day yesterday by any stretch of the mind. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to get the thoughts of Bernie Miklas. We'll get his thoughts on that day. We'll go through all three of those teams, Missouri, Illinois, and the Blues, and see what he has to think about all of those and what they mean for those programs and for those teams moving forward. Bernie Miklas joins us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to a Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning right here on KMOX. Tom's got the morning off. My name's Matt Pauly. Great to be with you. Also great to be able to talk with Bernie Miklas. Our conversation be brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin dealer. Bernie, a good Sunday morning to you. Not a good Sunday morning for a lot of St. Louis sports fans after Missouri, Illinois, and the Blues all had unfortunate days yesterday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Did we lose Bernie? We will try to get Bernie back here in just a moment or so. And if we need to, we can just give him a call even and get him on the phone. We need to do that. So we will try to reconnect with Bernie here.
Hello.
Bernie, we got you.
Yeah.
All right.
I apologize, man. I was connected and all of a sudden it cut out. I apologize for the confusion.
Not a problem at all. We're glad to be able to talk with you. I was just mentioning, terrible sports day in the area yesterday with Missouri, Illinois, and the Blues. I mean, it was just as bad as it could get.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about the Blues anymore. So we'll just wait for them to get straightened out. I mean, seriously, it's a long season. You know, the other two teams, Illinois and Mizzou, you know, I really thought Illinois would go to Washington and win that game. I mean, I after all the Illini were ranked 23rd going in, Washington's okay. They have a really good quarterback. But, you know, the end of the line for the Illini and Brett Bielema this year is their defense. As you know, and I think our listeners who pay some attention to Illinois know, the Illini defense was really, really hyped. Everyone was saying, I mean, this team's got a chance to, you know, get into the playoff because their defense is returning all these players and their defense is great. The defense has not been that great. And yesterday, I think that brought it home. You know, Washington had 449 yards. They ran for 160. They passed for nearly 300. Williams, the Washington quarterback, carved them up. And it was just almost like a no contest. So it's very disappointing for the Illini. Mizzou, what can you say, right? The game was there. And I know they had some adversity with penalties and also Bo Prabula getting hurt. But you know me, Mr. Numbers, and I was diving into some stuff today. You know, Matt Zollers, the kid who had not played basically at all, six passes in garbage time earlier in the season, I thought he was outstanding yesterday. I did not expect much. He showed no signs of the moment being too big or being freaked out. Yeah, okay, he had an intentional grounding. So what? He played very, very well, and I don't know what that means for the rest of the year because I doubt that Mizzou will run the table. But the two takeaways, you know, the Mizzou offense in general, but especially with Prabula in there, was just simply not good enough. It was really ineffective. And when Zollers went in, they at least had a downfield passing attack. They had a drop back passing attack, which they haven't had all year. But the other takeaway is that the Mizzou defense, I know they gave up a long run, but they deserved better. They played great in that game. They stopped Pavia in a way that teams have not done the last 2 years. And that was a missed opportunity. So now Mizzou's going to have to run the table to even talk about it. See, to me, there's nothing to talk about. They'll play Texas A&M a week from Saturday, and then we'll see how they do. But, you know, if they beat Texas A&M, then we can talk about the playoffs. Because there's really no reason to lay out the rest of the season. The next game is against a team that's going to be very tough to beat. Let's see how Mizzou does.
Would have you let Vanderbilt score late to get more time on the clock to get the ball back?
That's a good idea, yeah. Why not? You know, so they probably were going to get in there anyway, all things considered. and because they were set up, set up so nicely. But yeah, just to give the kid more time, more time on the clock, because he just kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. I mean, all right, people are going to laugh at me when I say this. And the people that know me should know, I don't just spout stuff off. I actually back it up. The best quarterback in that game yesterday was Matt Zollers.
He was impressive. I have a hard time arguing against you based off the numbers that we saw in that game. I would be curious to see what he looks like when a defense has time to prepare for him.
But that's an entirely different thing. I agree with you. But that's a whole different subject. Texas A&M, especially their great coach defensively, they'll have all things waiting for him. I'm talking about yesterday. If you go by passer rating, if you go by expected points added, you go by all these other things. The best quarterback on the field yesterday throwing the ball was Matt Zollers. That's a fact. It's not an opinion.
Yeah, no, Pavia's 10 of 19, 129 yards with an interception. That was not a good performance from Diego Pavia. And that's popping off about he deserves to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
And he said it again after the game. You know what his rating was in that game? 52.3. You know what Zollers' rating was in that game? It was 93.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid, I know it's a terrible thing that they lost the game, and we certainly didn't want to see Prabula get hurt. But coming out of it, and the day after, you're always supposed to look ahead. And coming out of it, I'm like, this is exciting to see that they actually have a dude that can be a quarterback, and they threw him in the fire, and he handled himself great. There will be many, many tests ahead, but he was a highly recruited guy. It's not like Matt Zollers is some bum that walked off the street, so to speak.
It also potentially sets you up for the future, because you never really know with these, if there's not a pathway for a quarterback or any position player, any player to walk, to have playing time, they might look to greener pastures. Maybe this does set things up a little bit better for the future for Mizzou.
Yeah, and I think it's a valuable thing that he'll get a chance to play. And these are big games because Mizzou technically still has a chance. And they certainly want to win games just to have a good season. So I'm very intrigued what we'll see, but I agree with the point you threw in there, a couple minutes ago, which is, starting with Texas A&M, they're going to throw looks at him he's probably never seen before, so that'll be yet another test and a big one.
This does go back to the kind of the tired narrative, which I don't agree with, but we're going to hear anytime Missouri has one of these big opportunities to get a really big win that carries some weight, they come up short in these opportunities. And this is another example of that.
Not all of this is Eli Drinkwitz, of course. This goes back a while. It might be since Mizzou joined the SEC. But with that loss yesterday, Mizzou has lost 19 out of 20 games to top 10 SEC teams. And I think that's on the road. And, the history speaks for itself. I mean, that's about it. When they go away from Columbia, they have a hard time. It's not like they beat up on top 10 teams in Columbia, but 19 out of 20 against top 10 teams on the road. I think that pretty much speaks for itself, right?
It does. And I think it's okay to have these conversations, Bernie, because what it means is we're holding Missouri to a higher standard. Drink comes in, lifts the program to a certain level. There can be expectations that, you should go into Vanderbilt and you should find a way to win that game. You should find a way to beat Alabama last week at home. The program's at a point where some of these games need to be wins, and unfortunately they're not wins yet.
I agree with you 100%. And there's only so many of these opportunities can go by, where you try to write it off for something. I'll give you an example, and I don't know how you felt about it. I was really turned off by Drinkwitz talking about the penalties and basically implying, he didn't say it, he was strongly implying they got some kind of raw deal. Give me a break. All the red zone opportunities you had, all the situations you had where you could have scored with your starting quarterback, I mean, you have a first and goal at the two, and no one on that coaching staff has got to play to get 2 yards, right? I don't want to hear about officiating. When you go in there, there was at one point, There was at one point right before the half where Mizzou had like 4 yards passing. And I know, listen, man, respect to Vanderbilt. They have a really good defense. Don't get me wrong. But the inability to throw the ball downfield, and then again, you know, when you get down there in a game like that, which is a slugfest, and you can't score, you got 4 shots to score from the 2-yard line, and coach talking about officials calls, give me a break.
He is Bernie Miklas. Bernie, always good to be able to talk to you. We'll have you on Rush Hour Sports coming up on Monday for the whole hour.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Matt.
All right, very good. That's Bernie Miklas joining us here on the show. We'll keep the Mizzou football conversation going. Derek Peterson, who covers the SEC for Saturday Down South, he joins us in just a moment here on Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. No Tom Ackerman this week. My name's Matt Pauly. I've got you till for another hour or so. We'll take you till 11:30 today, and then we'll get you into coverage of the Giants and the Eagles. Still on the way, we're going to talk with Russell Baxter later on this hour, all things NFL. Next hour, Kevin Wheeler. We'll talk baseball, and also Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Chaim Bloom, is going to join us at 11:15 right now. Happy to go back to the guest line. You read him at Saturday Down South, covering SEC football, including Mizzou. He is Derek Peterson. And Derek, thank you for taking some time. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. How are you?
I am good. So yesterday, an unfortunate result for Missouri in that they lose to Vanderbilt, an opportunity for the Tigers to get a top 10 road win. They can't do that. And they also lose their quarterback, Bo Prabula, who is evidently going to be out for at least the rest of the regular season. There's a possibility he could be around for the postseason, depending on where Missouri goes. But speaking of that, where does Missouri go now with a couple losses in the SEC and moving away from Prabula? At quarterback, at least for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, so you're 6-2 on the year. Seems like recently there's been quite a bit of discourse from talking heads, specifically on ESPN, which, you know, we got to take with a grain of salt, that a 3-loss SEC team would be more deserving of a college football playoff spot than a 2-loss or a 1-loss team from another conference. I personally think that the ACC is atrocious this year. I personally think that the bottom of the Big Ten is really, really, really bad. I'm curious what happens with the non-Texas Tech teams in the Big 12. So it's possible that the SEC could have 4 teams in the playoff. It's possible that a 3-loss SEC team could get into the playoff. But what we saw last year was that they just weren't willing to go that far when it came to regular season defeats. And so what we have to go on is that 3 losses is really the cutoff. So you look at where Mizzou's at. They play Texas A&M next week. It's their next game. And they have a bye next week. Excuse me. They have Texas A&M in 2 weeks. I don't know who's beating Texas A&M right now. I don't, you know. If you could play Texas A&M next week, maybe you get them off of an emotional high winning at LSU, and maybe you can kind of sneak up on them a little bit. But Texas A&M, to me, is the best team in the SEC right now. I just don't know, especially with a backup quarterback, what you're going to be able to do against that. So if you just chalk that up as a loss, you got to go 3-0 against Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Arkansas to give yourself a puncher's chance to get into the playoff, and you got to hope that a bunch of chaos happens elsewhere. You know, you could absolutely go 3-0 against Mississippi State, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, regardless of who your quarterback is. I think Missouri's defense is that good. I think Arkansas is a mess. I think Oklahoma's offense is a mess. Mississippi State's pretty good, but that game's at home. So I don't think Missouri's dead in the college football playoff discussion. Not yet. Especially when you look at, you know, the losses that they have. It's a 3-point loss to Alabama, which will get into the playoff, and it's a 7-point loss on the road with a backup quarterback to a Vanderbilt team that honestly might get into the playoff. You know, if you're only 3 losses, assuming a loss to Texas A&M, if you're only 3 losses are to teams that are like, what, top 10 seeds in the playoff, like top 8 seeds in the playoff, how do you deny that team?
And not to cut you off, but there's going to be there's always the sticker decal belief where maybe the committee, if Alabama's got three losses, if Georgia's got three losses, well, then, yeah, sure, they're going to get in. But I think a lot of people around Missouri worried about the idea, would the committee give Missouri as a three-loss team an opportunity to get in the college football playoff?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a fair concern. On the broadcast yesterday, they were talking about, you know, Mizzou opening the season with, you know, sitting outside the AP poll. And despite being an SEC team that had 10 wins in back-to-back years, and the point was made that if it was, you know, if it was a Georgia and Alabama with back-to-back 10, they'd be a top 15 team. And I thought that that point was great. I loved that they made that point because I think Missouri's been disrespected on the national stage over the last few years, just based on what Drink has been able to do with them. They're one of the winningest programs in the country over the last 3 years. And also they've been one of the best teams against the spread over the last 3 years for people that care about things like that. Like that points to how they perform against expectations. And I would imagine, like, if I was sitting on the committee, I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for me, but it's something that I would be like, oh, they're outperforming expectations more often than not. So it's a legitimate concern, but at the same time, if you're a 9-win SEC team sitting there at the end, you know, I think there's going to be a case for it. And I think Missouri has helped itself with, you can only play the schedule that you play, right? And they beat the snot out of the teams that they were supposed to kill earlier in the season. And they've fought close games with the top teams in the conference. I mean, a 3-point loss to Alabama, that was a close game. That was a coin flip game, exactly what the scoreboard said it was. 7-point loss to Vanderbilt, that was another close game. It was a coin flip game. And they did it with a backup quarterback for the entire second half on the road. So I think, you know, it's a fair concern, but at the end of the day, I think I think Mizzou has done itself enough favors in the games that it has won. If it continues to play out that way, like if they beat Mississippi State, if they go on the road and they beat Oklahoma, if they handle Arkansas at the end of the year and just don't get obliterated by Texas A&M, you know, it's a good resume, I think.
Yesterday around the SEC was a weird day. You didn't expect LSU to beat Texas A&M, but they just got absolutely run off the field. Alabama could have easily lost at South Carolina. I don't know how Texas came back to win at Mississippi State. They were down big in that game. Auburn finally gets their first win, and it happens on the road against an Arkansas team that's in all kinds of shambles right now. Just a very interesting day yesterday in the SEC as we still continue to try to kind of put a personality and identity traits to all of these teams.
Yeah, Kentucky scored 34 points on Tennessee. Ole Miss scored 34 points on Oklahoma's defense, 22 in the first half. I think what we've seen in the SEC this year is that the gap between the elite teams in the league and the middle tier, and then the gap between the middle tier and the bottom tier, has just completely evaporated. The difference between all these teams is just so marginal. At this point, you don't really have an elite team. And, you know, a lot of people thought that was Alabama, especially given the way that they had been playing over recent weeks. And Alabama was my national title pick coming into the season. I picked them to win the SEC and go on and have a good run in the playoffs. But, like, you know, Alabama struggles against the run at times. You know, Oklahoma doesn't have an offense, really. Missouri now has a backup quarterback, and Missouri has had some kicking issues throughout the year because of injuries. Vanderbilt's defense is gettable. Tennessee's defense is kind of laughable. Texas is whatever the heck Texas is. Georgia doesn't scare anyone right now. There used to be such stratification in the SEC. Like, Georgia would play the bottom teams and it would just kill them. Alabama, when it was rolling under Nick Saban, would play the bottom teams and it would just kill them. And when you got the matchups between the top teams, you weren't really sure what you were going to get. But when you got matchups against everybody else, you kind of knew what was going to happen. You just kind of don't really know what's going to happen right now. The transfer portal, NIL, some of the other changes in college football have smoothed things out a lot. I mean, Vanderbilt's sitting here at 7-1. They're a top 10 team. If they beat Texas, they're a lock to make the playoff, which is absolutely insane to think about.
I
just think anything can happen any given Saturday. And at this point right now, I don't know who's going to win the SEC, and I don't know who's going to even play for the SEC title. Texas A&M, Alabama, Ole Miss, Vandy all have one or fewer losses. And then there's Georgia in the mix as well. And it's kind of, it's exciting to say that, but it's wild to think about that, that here we are it's about to be November 1st. And do you know who's going to play in Atlanta for the SEC title game? I don't.
No, absolutely not. Not yet. He is Derek Peterson. You read him at Saturday Down South. If you're not familiar with Saturday Down South, it's SaturdayDownSouth.com. They do great coverage of the league, and then they also have coverage of every single team. Each team in the SEC has its own team site there at Saturday Down South, so you can keep up to date on everything going on across the league. They also have some sister sites for some of the other leagues, including Saturday Tradition covering the Big Ten. Derek, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. Hopefully we can chat again with you down the line.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on.
All right, very good. That is Derek Peterson joining us on the program as we talk a little bit about what's going on with Mizzou. Tough loss, but I think the way you listen to him talk and there's still a pathway, I would be fascinated, absolutely fascinated, if Missouri, let's say they win three of their final four and their one loss is Texas A&M and it's a tight loss at home, which that is a plausible scenario. The tough one there is going to be going and winning at Oklahoma. That's going to be a challenge. Even with Oklahoma losing yesterday, that's a good Oklahoma team. Played in Norman, not easy. But if they win three of their final four, if they finish with three losses and their losses are to Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Texas A&M, that's a resume that there's going to be a lot of people saying should be good enough for the college football playoff. They have to do their job first, but that would be a resume that people would be clamoring for, should be in there. All right, we are going to talk some pro football. Russell Baxter, the pro football guru, he is going to join us in just a moment or so, go through a full slate of games today. That's up next. This is a Sports on a Sunday Morning right here on KMOX. Tom Ackerman is out this week. My name's Matt Pauly. Great to be with you. We have you for another 45 minutes. We've got an NFL doubleheader today. First, Giants and Eagles, and then Cowboys and Broncos coming up after that. Very happy to bring on to the program. He's one of the smartest NFL guys you can ever talk to. He is Russell Baxter. You follow him on Twitter at BAX Football Guru. Russell, thank you for taking some time with us this morning. How are you?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
My pleasure, and thank you for the nice introduction. It just shows to show you that PayPal worked.
Very good, very good. This is an NFL slate today that's we've had a lot of good weekends of some really good matchups. Bluntly, not as many good matchups this week. The Sunday night game between the Steelers and Packers, certainly interesting. One of our games today, Cowboys-Broncos, I actually think that could be interesting. Bears-Ravens with Lamar Jackson not in there. But what's your overall takeaway from the games that are going to take place today?
Well, it's the thinnest slate of games all year. You have six teams that are off and some good ones. That are off. In fact, very bizarre, like going back to the days when the buys first started, San Francisco's at Houston today, Matt. They're the only NFC West team playing this week. Hmm. Arizona's off, Seattle's off, the Rams are off. So when you have, you know, the NFC West, which 3-5-2 teams and two of the 5-2s are not playing, that certainly puts the schedule at the dicey situation, you know, and it's all luck because these buys are determined so far in advance. It's also a week where 8 of the 13 games, and including the Chargers-Vikings game Thursday, are interconference games. So we have a couple of divisional games. In fact, we have a couple of divisional games that are rematches from early. It's the first rematches of the year, and I'm sure a lot of eyes are going to be Philadelphia and the Giants. The Giants whacked them a couple of weeks ago at MetLife Stadium. This will make you feel old. The last time the Giants swept the Eagles, any guesses?
Was Eli Manning the quarterback? Do we go that?
They certainly were, and they won the Super Bowl that year. Okay. It was 2007.
Okay.
18 years ago.
It's been a while.
So, yeah, it's a while. So, I like what you said about Dallas and Denver. Denver's, you know, they're like a roller coaster ride, a lot of thrills and chills. And as we found out last week, if you shut off the Broncos game after three quarters, then you didn't get your money's worth. And Green Bay and Pittsburgh, I guess, is very intriguing. It's actually two teams that are leading their division right now. Obviously, the caveat with Aaron Rodgers facing his former team. But like you said, it's not a slate that you're like, wow, because you're seeing matchups that you don't ordinarily see a lot of. I think one of the most intriguing games of the week is Buffalo at Carolina. The Bills have lost two in a row. The Panthers have won three in a row. The Bills suddenly can't stop the run. The Panthers suddenly can run, and last year they couldn't stop the run. So, and Sean McDermott, if you remember, you know, he's defensive coordinator with the Panthers for years before he took the job in Buffalo. The Bills now trailing the New England Patriots in the AFC East. And the Panthers, who, by the way, have not been to the playoffs since 2017, Matt, only a game behind the Buccaneers in the NFC South.
The Panthers are starting Andy Dalton today, though. Isn't that the red flag for them?
Not necessarily, because that's who's the prominent guy right now in, is it Bryce Young? Is it Andy Dalton? Or is it Rico Dowdell? The running game, the running back, who they got from the Cowboys, who came back and haunted the Cowboys a couple of weeks ago. The one thing about Carolina last year, Matt, even though they were 5-12, they did win four of their last nine games. They turned the corner a little. But if you go back and look, their offensive line was very, very good. Top 10 in according to Pro Football Focus. This year, a lot of injuries on the offensive line, but they kept all the same guys. So interchangeable pieces, and it's really paid off for them. Here's a stat about their defense. By the way, Derek Brown, who missed most of the year last year, was one of the reasons they had the worst defense in the league. How's this for a number? Last year, the Panthers gave up 179.8 yards per game on the ground. It's one of the worst averages in the history of the league, by the way. In their last three games, they've given up a total of 131 yards rushing.
It's a good stat. We're talking with Russell Baxter, previewing today's NFL slate. And also tomorrow, the Chiefs are going to be in action tomorrow night against Washington. Russell, to me, it's pretty remarkable that a month ago, we were looking at Kansas City as an under 500 team. They had, what, the fourth, fifth, sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl this year. And now all of a sudden, with a couple nice wins over the last few weeks, we're looking at them as the Super Bowl favorite and a team that's really playing well. They got a lot of injured players back, and that certainly has helped them.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I think what gets lost in this crazy age where we expect all these great teams to go undefeated, okay, was you remember when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, Matt? Mm-hmm. They were 11-6. They weren't 14-3 or 15-2. In fact, they were 15-2 last year and got whacked in the Super Bowl. So if you're playing your best football at the end of the year, that's really the key. Remember when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl as a wild card? They were 7-5 after 12 games, got hot late in the year, got hot in the playoffs, and stole a Super Bowl, for lack of a better word, as a wild card. So make sure you're playing, make sure you're healthy for the most part at the end of the year. I mean, that's why you see all these surprising results and these upsets and different things that happened in this league. This league has become more unpredictable. And, you know, almost like college football this year, where, you know, anybody who did the top 10 at the beginning of the year, I don't do college football rankings, my goodness. Every time you turn around, a couple top 10 teams are getting knocked off. But that's what makes it fun, okay? You actually have to play the games. You haven't had everybody figure it out all in advance. And it's funny. And, Matt, a lot of people are guilty of this. You ever see people, you know, a team gets off to a good start, and then they look at their schedule the next four or five games, and they're like, oh, well, you know, they could go on a 5-0 run. Mm-hmm. So then they turn around and they go on the 5-0 run, and those very same people said, well, they haven't played anybody.
That is true. That is the way we look at the league so often.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Last thing for you, if the Steelers beat the Packers, Aaron Rodgers would join a group of one of six quarterbacks all time to have wins against every team in the league. You respect and love the history of this game so much. What does that mean? What's the for you? Where would that put Aaron Rodgers if he gets that win tonight?
I think it's more of an anomaly or anything else because if you look at the list of guys, okay, I would say they're all fairly recent, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, and it's actually four. I misspoke. It's Favre, that's all right. Brady, Breeze, and Manning.
Okay, yeah, all fairly recent. And why is that? Because free agency came in the league in 1993. You know, years and years ago, you didn't have player movement like you do now. You know, remember the league went to court and lost. And that's why we have free agency the way we have it. I mean, there were I remember there was one year, I guess, Walter Payton, I think his contract, nobody signed him. His contract expired because, you know, they, you know, accused of collusion, et cetera, et cetera. It's a neat accomplishment. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But it's more of an accomplishment than more of a historic note because you didn't necessarily have the opportunity to do that, Matt, you know, decades and decades ago because, you know, you kept teams together. You know, that's why it's funny because that's one of the knocks on for people who knocked the 60s Packers and the 70s Steelers and even the 80s 49ers. Well, they had great teams and they didn't lose anybody in free agency. Well, no kidding. There was no free agency for anybody to lose players and so on. That's why you had Bradshaw with four rings and Bart Starr with five rings and Montana with four rings, but they didn't necessarily get the chance to play everybody back then. So, I mean, if you look at the list that you have, obviously everyone on there had to play for at least two teams.
He is Russell Baxter, founder of Pro Football Guru. He's so much fun to be able to talk football with. Does a lot of work with a number of the team sites on the Sports Illustrated Network. Follow him on Twitter at BAX Football Guru. Russell, thank you so much for this time. Enjoy the slate, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
You got it. Look forward to it.
Awesome. Very good. That's Russell Baxter joining us here on the program. We appreciate a few moments with him. It's some interesting games today. He brought up that that Panthers game, which is the one game that I had not mentioned as being games that have intrigue today. That Bears-Ravens game is interesting. I don't know. The news came out today. The NFL is going to be really looking into the Baltimore Ravens. And this kind of goes along with the news this past week when it came to the sports betting scandal. Because one of the issues with that sports betting scandal is there, if you have information on who's going to play and who's not going to play before it becomes public, you can get an advantage. And part of the idea with the coach, Damon Jones, the former Cleveland Cavaliers assistant coach, that he was giving information out during that time between morning shoot-around and when the actual injury report came out, and that can be really, really valuable information. Well, the Ravens had listed Lamar Jackson as a full participant in practice early in the week, or actually not early in the week, on Friday, when he was actually a limited participant. The him getting ruled out and that whole thing, the way he went from being listed as a full participant to limited, had a 4-point swing in the point spread. If you have that information, that can really help you out as a gambler, and that's the last thing the NFL wants. So the NFL is actually going to be looking into the Baltimore Ravens about what went into the status being given incorrectly on Lamar Jackson. We've got more in a moment. It's Sports on Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.